Well, we have 9 more holes to go, so how about you two fellas follow me to the 10th tee?
On to the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper.
2 players down the middle on the 10th hole.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Well, thank you very much and welcome in to the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper, son of 51 time. Maybe we'll call it 52 after that caddy interview.
Should be 52.
Yeah. Your dad is equivalent to Byron Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Both.
You know what
men
else I
well.
Found out was interesting?
What's up?
They announced the categories and how much they're going to be putting into each and the players and stuff. And they got the legacy category.
Yeah.
Number 4. No legacy people that have passed on.
Oh, that's how they did that.
Yep. Have to be alive.
Which is kind of interesting. Well.
Built the tour.
Does that include Palmer?
Palmer's gone.
I know he's gone. I just didn't know. I mean, you'd think, man.
Nope, it's not going to include Palmer.
Hmm.
But right. Jack and Tom Watson, and there's a bunch of guys. I wonder if Greg Norman will get any.
I'm going to go with no on that one.
Flat out.
By the way, when he was playing, that was a struggle. Like, it was in between Jack and Tiger. And there were guys kind of going back and forth, Faldo, Norman, Price.
Nick Price. Yeah.
Not there's anything wrong with those guys, but they didn't have the same. I mean, you're trying to follow the golden bear, and you didn't even know the tiger was lurking. So he was just a cub, and he ends up doing his thing. So now you got these, you know, kind of like what Moneyball, with how they said, we're going to, you know, we can't replace Chiambi, but we can maybe recreate him in the aggregate. That's essentially what has happened as Tiger's kind of started falling off the competitive landscape. You've recreated him in the aggregate with Rory McIlroy's and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and, you know, John Rahm's and Scottie Scheffler's and these guys.
And here comes Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. Who knows? Maybe Scottie's going to stand on his own. He might be one of that next guy.
It's a pretty amazing, and I'm sure we've talked about this, but Scottie Scheffler, the points between him and Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Are the same as Rory McIlroy down to the 100th player in the world golf rankings right now. It's crazy.
It's a big gap. It's Tiger-like.
It's a huge gap.
Hey, we got so much to get to. Hope you enjoyed hour number 1, our replay of the Byron Nelson interview, one of our highlights over 25 years of doing Real Golf Radio. The caddy was in hour 1 as well. Jeremy Butler, Fujikura, will join us coming up in a few minutes. Stay tuned. We'll get into the hot topics next here on the back nine of Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
This segment is brought to you by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. Man, is it something that's being talked about? Everywhere I go, people are talking and asking me about Black Desert Resort in St. George. Go to blackdesertresort.com for all of the details. But of course, it features a Tom Weisskopf championship design golf course that is ready to host the PGA Tour in a FedEx Cup Fall Series event this October 10th through the 13th. BlackDesertEvents.com for more details on the tour event, sponsorships, hospitality, ticket sales, volunteer, all right there at BlackDesertEvents.com. And for exclusive real estate opportunities, it's BlackDesertResort.com. And you can also learn more about all that is being offered there in the resort, from the pickleball facility that's going in, the water park, the shopping and dining, the spa, the fitness, the restaurants. It's going to be unreal. It's unlike anything you've ever seen before, and it's a cool thing to be a part of, and there's still some great opportunities. BlackDesertResort.com for that, and BlackDesertEvents.com for more on the tour event this fall and the LPGA Tour event coming up next May. So good things. We appreciate their sponsorship. Super awesome to be involved with what they have going on there in St. George at Black Desert Resort and BlackDesertResort.com. Bob, let's get into some of these topics that I have here, because there's a lot. First of all, we touched on it with the caddy, but you've got Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, who won the Zurich Classic in New Orleans last week. That's win number 25 for Rory McIlroy, and people want to know if we should count that or if Rory should even want to count that. First of all, my comment is it's not up to Rory to count it.
No.
If the tour's counting it as wins, it's a win.
Yep.
And what? Who's Rory to go out and say, you know what? Thank you, but I do not accept this win. I mean, give me a break.
The precedent's already been sent.
Yes.
It's already been sent. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not concerned about it. Not a big deal.
It doesn't give them access, not that he would need it or Lowry, but it does not give you access to the Masters. No. But it's a dub, and it counts. So good for him. So Rory, number 25. How about that career? Win 25 plus the four major championships. I mean, that is elite. That's rare era. We talked about it with the caddy. There's not a lot of people who have that many wins. I mean, of the active players today, and I guess you got to disqualify Phil Mickelson as being active right now because he's no longer playing on the PGA Tour. So for all intents and purposes, he's done. Is there anybody? And just quick check. No, there is nobody playing.
There's nobody else
that's active. Playing on the PGA Tour right now that has more wins. Dustin Johnson, again, effectively not
24.
Playing. He has 24. Now, I suppose Phil, DJ, some of these guys could win another major championship, which would bump him in there. But otherwise, of all the players in his era,
yes,
he's at the top. That's pretty impressive stuff. We talked about Rory a long time ago when he was approaching 20. What do you think the ceiling is for Rory McIlroy?
25, maybe, 30. I would like to see him eclipse 30, maybe get to 32 or more.
Right, so you're calling about seven more. Cool. Seven more.
Yeah.
He said he's probably not playing at the Masters. He said he's probably not playing real competitively in 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you're saying seven, he's got to pick up a little less than one a year for the rest of his career, essentially, which I think is totally doable.
Or he said, if he gets the green jacket, he may just ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, he might, but let's be honest. He's going to be feeling pretty good about things once he wins that green. That is going to be a huge weight off his back, and he might just be freed up to go for it. Just to put a little bow on this, Johnny Miller and Tommy Armour both join, Rory McIlroy joins Tommy Armour and Johnny Miller, let's put it that way, with 25 wins. On the PGA Tour. Tommy Armour with three majors, Johnny Miller with two. By the way, Rory has done that in a 15-year span. Johnny did it in a 24-year span. Tommy Armour in a 19-year span. That's pretty interesting. By the way, at the top of the order, Tiger Woods with his 82 wins in a 24-year span, and Sam Snead had his 82 in a 30-year span. So Tiger, obviously, much quicker. Nicholas, 25 years to 73. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Your dad, only 20 years to pick up his 51. Let's call it 52. He won that other one.
Yeah, the last one was in 75. It was New Orleans, which they just played last week, but it was still an individual event at the time. Mm. And a lot of people don't know this, but he had the flu that week, and he was really sick. Beware of the walking wounded.
Oh, the old flu game, huh? Like Jordan. Yeah,
the old flu game.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate that. Let's go back to Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Actually, I'll save that. I want to get to that because we've got some sound and we're going to run out of time. But I want to play that. We'll do that coming up after we talk to Jeremy Butler here in a little bit. Let's go Tiger Woods gets a special exemption to the US Open. First of all, good for him, good for the USGA. The man has earned whatever is given to him at this point in time. Nothing's a handout. Tiger's more than earned anything that might come his way. So I have zero issues with him. I don't feel like he's taken a spot away from anybody. I don't think he's a ceremonial golfer yet. I expect him to make the cut and to, you know, possibly contend. Who knows, right? But it's hard for me to say Tiger's going to win another major championship, but it's hard for me to say, knowing Tiger and following him all these years, that he's not.
And I agree with you. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me with Tiger Woods because he has been that exceptional throughout his whole career. And for him to catch lightning in a bottle one week, he can do that. He's been there before many, many times. We saw him do it as recently as, 2018 when he won the Masters, the Players Championship, 19 when he won the Masters, the Players Championship, the year before, excuse me, not the Players Championship, but the Tour Championship the year before. And you know, Tiger, especially with warmth, especially with a flatter golf course and not as much hills. Everything could align for Tiger if he's hitting the ball well and striking the ball well, and he ends up being able to compete.
Yeah, how about that? It'd be interesting. Also, he made the media rounds promoting his new brand, Sunday Red, and he was on Fallon, and it was awkward Tiger. I don't know what else to say, but he hasn't done a lot. It's only the second time he's been on The Tonight Show, and there's a reason. He's just not, like, I don't know, he's not funny like that. Like, I think in his element on the golf course, he's money, right? And he's, like, the coolest cat out there, but he gets in these situations. I don't know what it is. But Carson Daly's interview on the Today Show,
it was amazing.
That was by far the best Tiger Woods interview I've ever seen. And if you're kind of curious, I would guess that's what it would be like to have a conversation as a friend of Tiger's. I just don't think very many people get that. He was relaxed. He was comfortable. And he actually, like, you learned a lot. And I love the idea that he wore red. His mom told him to wear red, so he wore red and won. And then he wanted to rebel. And to Spider, he wore blue and he lost. So he went back to wearing red. So that's how it all came to be. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Go check out that interview.
Yeah, he talked about the logo and 15 stripes on the tiger on the logo. And he said, my job is to mess up the logo and put a 16th in there. And, you know, it was really good. And a lot of people don't know Carson Daly and Tiger Woods played junior golf together and high school golf together and that kind of thing. So these guys have known each other a long time. And as you said, it was just like they were friends talking back and forth to each other.
Yeah, I think that was big. Yeah. What do you think? Should Tiger Woods make a decision on being a Ryder Cup captain sooner than later? The PGA's in 2 weeks. I know the PGA of America would love to be promoting that, talking about that. Luke Donald's already in for another run as Ryder Cup captain. Tiger's 13-21-3 in 8 Ryder Cups.
Right.
Which the Team USA is 1-7 with Tiger on the team.
Crazy.
That's totally crazy. But first of all, should it be Tiger, and do you think Tiger should accept it?
You know, I think as far as Tiger, I think it would be great for Tiger to do it because Tiger's had success at Bethpage. The New York crowd loves him. And the fans there, I don't think his record plays into it at all. I think the guys playing for him respect him and want to be a part of it. And he's already proven that he can do it, even though he was a playing captain at the President's Cup over in Australia.
All right. I like that. Hey, you know what we got to talk about? Because if not Tiger, then who? We'll get into that coming up after our conversation with JB. Plus, European LIV players can play in the Ryder Cup. We'll talk about that coming up as well as I got a couple of rants that I want to go on. But coming up next, a little tech talk with our good buddy Jeremy Butler from Fujikura Golf Shafts. It's good stuff. Stay tuned. Right here on Real Golf Radio.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking Golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and you know what? I had a chance to switch out a couple of shafts. So funny, sometimes when I get some new clubs, they get sent, like these were from Callaway, and they just sent me whatever the stock was. One of them was a UT, 23-degree UT iron. So these utility irons are kind of a little bit more forgiving, kind of, you know, maybe it could be a driving iron type thing. And it just had a steel shaft in it. And then I've been playing this U-Dub for a while, this utility wood, and it's a 19-degree, and I've absolutely loved it. And it just had a stock shaft in it. And sometimes, like, I've even played 3-woods before with a stock shaft for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because sometimes I like getting the ball, especially years ago, I'd like the idea that some of these softer shafts get the ball in the air or whatever. But they did have a tendency to balloon and whatnot. So, but I've always custom fit everything else. So I don't know why. And so I'm looking at these this spring and I'm like, why do I have these two stock shafts? And I got to, why would I? So I called Jeremy Butler at Fujikura and I'm like, hey, well, this is what I'm thinking on this 23. What do you think? Go Ventus hybrid? Yeah, I think you should go Ventus. Okay. And then I'm like, what about this U-Dub? And we talked through it, and he's like, I think you should, you know, a lot of the guys with that club are putting in the red TR. And I'm like, oh, I haven't hit a red yet, you know.
That's what I have.
Because it's a little higher launch, and I'm usually trying to bring it down, which is why I play the black. And so, anyway, he's like, well, try these out. So I get Derek Fox at Impact. He builds these up. I take him out just this week, took him out for the first time. Oh, my. You can't believe I
do believe, because I have both of them in my fairway woods, the red one.
I couldn't believe how good that. I mean, yeah, it is a little higher launch, but we're not talking balloon balls. We're not talking about spinnies. No, didn't feel spinny at all.
Flatter.
Just putting it up there like it's going to come down like a pitching wedge. I can't believe how excited I am. Jeremy Butler's the director of sales and operations of Fujikura. I figured let's get JB back on here to find out what the heck's going on. So JB, going from, since we're talking Ventus Red right there, the Red TR, I probably wouldn't have even thought to try it. You suggested it, and man, I'm super excited. What's going on with that shaft?
Always listen to your fitter, right? Take the fitter recommendation. So, hey, things are great in the shaft world. Fujikura, we're doing great. I appreciate you always supporting us, and appreciate you talking about shafts on here. You know, I'm always down for some shaft discussion, especially after hearing how well things went for you and how much you like the new ones you put in.
Yes. Let's start with that Red TR. I mean, you and I were talking off air earlier, cause I called you right after I left the range. I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck's going on? And some people have misconceptions about that Red, huh?
For sure. Right. Well, I think some people hear the words high launch and get a little scared. And, the problem is that the Red is the high launch when you consider it compared to the black and the blue that are in the lineup. Right. It's the higher launching of the family. It's not a high launch, high spin product. So, but if you want something that gets a little more launch, like we talked when you were talking about what you wanted to do with that UW, right? If we're hitting it off the tee box, if we're hitting it off the tee, we probably want something that drives a little more piercing. If we're hitting it into number 17 at Alpine, right? My second shot, I wanted to land on that green and kind of stop on me. I don't want it running out, but I still need to carry it a good distance. So I need something that gets it up in the air, but then lets it come down and land softly, not roll out massively.
That's what
the Red has done.
Yeah. The thing you don't want with a shaft, especially like a fairway wood, a 3-wood or a 5-wood or something like that, you don't want that thing coming out bullet low. You want that thing to get up in the air, like you said, and to spin and come down softly into a green.
Yeah, if that's what you're doing it for, right? That's why a lot of people, when guys ask me specifically on fairway woods, you know, hey, what should I go with? And my first question back is, what do you use that club for? If it's your 3-wood, are you using it off the tee mostly? If it's one, you know, if it's a shorter par 4 where I might go through a fairway or I need to hit it a certain distance, then we can go with something, you know, a black or a TR blue, something that's going to keep the ball flight down a little more piercing. But if you're using that club to come into a green, we don't want it running through, like you said, Bobby. So that's, we've got shafts that can help in each of those situations. It's pretty awesome.
So the TR, what, where does that fit in to, I guess, the other lineup of Ventus?
Sure. So the TR came about to kind of slot in between where the original Ventus blue, Ventus black, and Ventus red set. So if I was to take in the original series, the red, the OG red would be the higher launching of the series. And then the next one down would be the TR red, if I slotted it in there. And then below TR red would be OG blue. Then I would go TR blue. And then I would go OG black. And TR black would be what we would consider the lowest launching of that Ventus family of those six. Now, with 2024, we've got a new blue, and that kind of takes the slot that OG blue sat in, kind of in your mid-launch, low-spin category. But so between Ventus and TR Ventus, I've got six profiles that kind of fit into those six spots.
That's a good six spots. The other thing I would say, right next to Ventus TR Red, it says the softest tip section of the TR lineup is ideal for players seeking a mid-high launch profile with controlled spin and increased stability. Nowhere on there does it say, if you want to spin this ball up in the air and have it go ballooning, I mean, controlled spin, increased stability. So none of that changes, right? With the different, that's what you're doing with all of them, but just gives you a little bit more of a kick there. That's what it felt like. It just, ball got up in the air better, but it was still piercing. Like I couldn't believe this. I'm looking at this thing going, that ball, that is amazing. That is amazing to watch what that thing is doing.
Yep, it's fun to see. It's amazing the things that you can do with carbon fiber, right? And where we put each of those materials. The TR, the Ventus TR, it has the spread woven material that's visible. You know, so it's got that section under the cosmetics where you can see that material weave in there. That material, when put in the spot it's at on the golf shaft, provides us with some torsional stability right below the grip where we need it the most in that particular product.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
Sorry, Bob, before you, real quickly, going back to my original. So I also swapped out a steel shaft for the Ventus hybrid shaft on that, that UT iron. What, when you have that conversation with people, what is that? How does that usually go when you're trying to decide steel or graphite on an iron type scenario there?
Yeah, the driving irons, you know, those UT types that you've got, we've seen the proliferation of those for sure come in the market. And, you know, we make graphite iron shafts, but we also make that hybrid shaft. And really for us, I think we see a lot of those guys are using that UT, like you mentioned, a driving iron, you know, something that they're hitting off the tee box on a short par four, right? Or, hitting that second shot on the par five. So that's much more of a driving product. And I think the hybrid shaft is designed to be a little bit more performance-based in that aspect compared to what we would look at with the standard iron shaft, right? So stability, you've got the Ventus, you've got the Velocor material that goes into that design, allows us to kind of marry where it fits in between an iron and a wood. And when we use that hybrid shaft, gives you the good feel, and then you're able to take advantage of those properties that the club companies have put together in those UTs. So you can use it for driving, or you can use it as you need to come into, you know, a green from that far distance as well.
Yeah.
Sweet. So you mentioned Ventus, and you mentioned the blue and the new products that you have out, and I see Velocor Plus. So tell us a little bit about the new shaft and also tell us about Velocor Plus now.
Sure. The new Ventus, we call it, you know, the 2024 Ventus Blue. We wanted that to kind of be the replacement for the OG Ventus Blue. So that came out 2018. We're going on, you know, 5.5, 6 years for that original Ventus Blue part. So this is that next generation of it. And we said, okay, how can we make it better? What can we do? We've got the Velocor technology that's part of the original Ventus and the Ventus TR. So for the new 2024 Ventus, we took the materials that make up Velocor and we added a new part to it. We added a third part to the two-part Velocor process from the old school. So that's what's called Velocor Plus. It's got three materials that make up that technology that helps us keep the torsional stiffness and keep the stability of the shaft. So that's what it's all about. Velocor and Ventus is about stability. So when our engineers put that new material in and we had some test shafts, the test results showed us we had some tighter dispersions and some faster ball speeds. Who doesn't want that, right?
Yeah.
So that's what Velocor awesome. Plus gives you. Adds that third material into the Velocor. So that's your plus. And then the results come in tighter dispersion, some increased ball speed, but the same great Ventus feel that everybody has come to learn and love.
Jeremy Butler's Director of Sales and Operations at Fujikura. I know you guys don't pay anybody to use your shafts out there on tour, but there sure is a lot of them out there. You can't miss them if you know what they look like. It's pretty easy to spot them. What do you see from tour? What's kind of been I know everybody's got their individual swing profiles, but is there one or another that seems to be getting a lot of attention or hype right now amongst the tour players?
Sure. I was out at the Nelson this week, so got to see it firsthand. It's so fun to be on the range and look up and down the range and see so many Ventus parts in guys' drivers and fairway woods. It's awesome. It's validation for our engineering team. And, you know, as a Fujikura guy, I'm 20 years here. I'm a lifer here. And it's so great to see the best players in the world that are out there trying to make a paycheck. They're using our product to get it done. I mean, we've had, I want to say 11 wins on tour this year. With guys with Ventus in their driver. And so that's way cool. The percentage is great. Our tour rep out there, Pat McCoy, busts his butt every week. He's built relationships. He's got great product now. That's the thing. He's got great product that works for these guys out there. I think if we were to say what product out there is the most popular, you're probably looking at the Ventus Black and the Ventus TR Blue. Mm. Those are probably the two most popular models out there. Patrick Fishburne, guy who moves it a little bit, he's got Ventus TR Blue. I hope I can name drop. I know him. You know, he's a BYU guy. So, but I saw him. He's got TR Blue. The guy who happened to win the Masters and the following week and a couple other events this year, he's won a little bit of money. He plays Ventus Black. So that's probably what we see happen out there the most. I mean, these guys have so much club head speed. They're able to move it. You know, they're almost catching up to you, BT. Bob's got them a little bit, but they're catching up to you. So, nice. I mean, what's in your driver, Brian?
Yeah, I got Black.
Right? Black X, yep. There you go. Right? So you're right up there with them. But definitely the most popular, Ventus Black.
Mm. Well, awesome. I'll tell you, you can literally change and manipulate ball flights with the type of shaft. And not that that's what you're trying to do. There's certain swing components. It all fits in. It's all the puzzle that you're trying to work with. But sometimes if you don't have the right equipment, if you're not custom fit, if it's not fitting your profile, then you're fighting the equipment a little bit. You don't want to do that. The game's hard enough already. Go get custom fit by one of the charter dealers. Go to fujikuragolf.com. You can find out where to get them and find out more details on the Ventus product. JB, thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And thanks again. The product is unreal. Definitely makes the game more fun.
My pleasure, guys. This is what I love to do. You know that. We love to talk shafts, so appreciate it. I'm giving the caddy a run for his money. I'm gonna get that weekly spot from the caddy.
I like it. JB coming for, we'll get you your own open. Let's see.
Yeah. Attaboy.
There are bag rats.
And then there's it. JB. There we go.
There we go. Awesome. Thanks, boys. Buddy. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Yep. Talk to you again soon. That's Jeremy Butler. That's He's great. The director of sales and operations at Fujikura Golf. Check out fujikuragolf.com. Take a short break. More of the show continues next.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. Thanks to Jeremy Butler for joining us there on Real Golf Radio. By the way, he just sent me this. This week at the Byron Nelson, 13 Ventus Black 60-gram driver shafts are in play. 9 Ventus TR Blue 60-gram driver shafts out of the 58 Fujikura driver shafts in play. So that's pretty good. 58. I mean, that's basically half the field is in Fuji. And yeah, you got sort of a split there between the black and the TR Blue. So yeah, hopefully you enjoyed that interview. That was good stuff from JB. All right, we had talked about, before we went to JB, about Jordan Spieth a little bit, and he had these comments talking about Scottie Scheffler. This is good stuff. Like, right, Bob, don't you think there's some times when you hear tour players and they just give you they're saying what they need to say to fill their obligation, and then there's times you actually can get something out of it. And this was one of those times. Really interesting, obviously, Jordan being asked about Scottie and the run he's going on. Here's what he said.
I'm nothing but extremely excited and happy for him, and it's well deserved and all that. And then, you know, on the flip side, like, it's kind of the first time I've ever looked at somebody younger than me and been in like that I've driven inspiration. Like, I'm inspired by what he's doing. It makes me want to go out and get better, and that's always been someone that's been older than me. And it's kind of the first time I've really felt that way about someone younger, especially because I, you know, play a decent amount of rounds with him here in town. So I'm constantly seeing it, and I'm trying to beat him at home. And when he's playing better than I am, you know, it sucks. I don't enjoy it when I'm side by side, because there are however many years of our life, it wasn't that way. And it's flipped, and I feel like I've got plenty of runway to be able to get it back, but it's inspiring at the same time to try to make that happen. So I have nothing in my way of being able to make that happen but my own self. I've got enough. I believe in my ceiling, and I believe my ceiling's as high as anybody's, and I just have to get each part of my game up towards its ceiling. And I've got a couple areas that are about at it right now and a couple areas that need to get there, and if they do, then I feel like we could go on runs together, I guess.
He's so nice, the way he ended that. We can so polite. We can go on runs together, I guess.
Yeah.
Or in other words, I'm going to kick your butt if I get it all going. Now, what was exactly. interesting about that is he said he's got a couple of things that he's got to get up to the level.
Yeah.
And we started off this show playing the Byron Nelson interview, and he had a couple of things, chip poorly and careless shots.
Yep.
And those two things led to him picking up a shot a day and ended up going on a run of winning 18 and 11 in a row. Now, I don't think 18 and 11 in a row is even a thing. It's in today's game.
Right.
But could that kind of a run happen? That's what Jordan's saying. And he's saying it at the Byron Nelson. Do you see this energy there? That's impressive stuff. Now, not to mention.
And that was the first tour event he ever played.
That's right. Exemption.
And he finished top 20 as a 16-year-old.
I remember watching that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, Jordan Spieth has a phenomenal talent, amazing short game, amazing putter, especially mid-range putting. And I think where he lacks is his abilities off the tee. And when he gets that dialed in and he gets his approaches to the green dialed in, which is what Scottie Scheffler does so, so well right now. And his short game is better than Jordan's at the moment. But if Jordan were able to dial those in, which we've known him as a great ball striker and a great imagination and a great field player and everything, then I think Jordan Spieth is going to go on runs again.
Well, looking at his stats for the season so far, he's 11th in strokes gained total.
Yeah.
I mean, what he's 39th off the tee, 100th. Right. He's given up not quite a half a shot to the field in the in the strokes gained, right? Wouldn't that be 0.5? It's 0.05. So it's not quite
correct.
And then strokes gained putting, he's picking up a little over a half a shot, 14th in strokes gained putting. So look, I look at that and I'm like, he's doing good things. His putting is 14th, his total driving 32nd. He's not long. He's 57th in longest drives, 49th in distance.
He hits it adequately in distance.
Sure.
No doubt. Do you think that relationship will ever change with him and Michael Greller?
You know, I've started to wonder that a little bit because at some point in time, it's never the golfer's fault, right?
Right.
Now, in this thing, I think he's owning it. He's doing a good job of owning it. But at the end of the day, when you look at other sports, you know, usually the coach goes.
Yeah.
And then and then maybe the GM goes. But the last person that usually goes is the star player.
Correct.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good battery. You know, you talk about good batteries out there. Teddy and Scotty right now, what they're doing. Michael and Jordan had that. They Michael and Jordan. How about that? I don't know why I never thought about that. they had that going on, right? For a long time. Look, this is a guy that has won 13 times.
Right.
And he's got his three major championships. He's won every one except the Wanamaker Trophy.
Yep. That's coming up in a couple of weeks.
And that's through 269 events?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's not bad.
No. And Greller's been on the bag since 2013 when he joined the tour. So, you know,
that would be 11
years,
split.
269 events?
That'd be a hard split. They've won $62 million.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, could it come to an end? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it will, though. I think they kind of got their thing going. But sometimes you just need a little rhythm change, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to say. Sometimes you just need to mix it up a little bit. So we'll see. All right, so interesting stuff. I think Jordan, you know, right now Rory is at 25. Does Jordan get there? Does Jordan get that 20 win mark?
Yes.
Yeah. Does he catch Rory at 25?
Yes, he can get to 25.
He can. Do you think he will?
Yes, I do.
I'll probably take the under on that one. I hope he does.
Really?
He's fun to watch. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's just, it's time's ticking, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
He's going to be a lifetime member though on the PGA Tour. He's got seven more in him easy.
Well, nothing's easy, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. Justin Thomas is going to be a big topic of conversation coming up at Valhalla. He's a Kentuckian. He's a two-time Wanamaker Trophy winner. Isn't that interesting? The one that Spieth hasn't won. JT's got two. 15 wins, two majors. What's your thoughts on JT and his chances coming up at Valhalla for the PGA Championship?
Well, I think he's got as good a chance as anybody at Valhalla. You know, there's some things with his game that have suffered a little bit. But the thing that kind of drives Justin Thomas in a PGA Championship is his dad's a member of the PGA of America. Mm-hmm. He's been a head professional. And that this major meant so much to him when he won it the first time. Now he's won it twice. And, you know, why not tack a third one on there? But Justin Thomas has been on tour since 2015. He's played in 229 events and had, what, 15 wins?
Yep.
It's He's done amazingly so far, and he definitely will get to 20, in my opinion.
So 32nd in strokes gained total. The glaring thing is he's 82nd off the tee. He's 8th approach into the green, so his irons are good. Tee shot's okay. Yeah. It's not great, but it's okay. But then 156th in strokes gained putting. That's tough. That's not good. Got to get that flat.
That's tough. He's given up almost a half a shot around at .431. And when you've got the other stuff going the way he's going, with approach to the green and everything too, along with that, if you're not making putts and you're 156th on tour in strokes gained putting, you're not going to do very well because that's where the hay is made the putting.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I got to get back to Tiger Woods. We talked about if not Tiger, then who? You think Tiger should accept it with everything he has going on. But if not Tiger, for whatever reason, with his player advisory role and trying to rehab his body and all that kind of stuff, and he's spending more time with Charlie on his game, if he doesn't end up doing it, if he doesn't end up taking the Ryder Cup captain in New York, who's it going to be? Like who?
I think the logical one who hasn't done it yet is Fred Couples. He's done President's Cups. He has not done Ryder Cups yet, and he has been vice captain many, many times. So I think he would be the logical one.
He'd be an easy plug and play because he's been in the system. That's what you're saying. And he's good buddies with Tiger, and everybody loves Freddie.
Yes.
Exactly. That said, I mean, maybe let some guys have some turns. How about bringing Zinger back? I don't know if he'd accept it, but he's got all kinds of time right now. He's not even doing anything.
Nope. I think Zinger would be a good one.
I think Zinger would be a good one. Here's my left field one, okay? I'm starting to think of guys, East Coast guys.
And this one's way out there.
Well, how about Keegan Bradley?
Yeah?
Like, does anyone love the Ryder Cup more than Keegan Bradley? And he would anyone spend more time? You know, I know he's Boston. It's not New York. I know he's Boston. But, man, I think he would just do a great job.
Yep. He's never been in the mix as far as vice captains or anything. So he'd have to kind of be led along. He'd have to get the correct support team around him to help him. But he is, what he has going for him is he has won a PGA championship.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what the PGA of America likes.
That's right. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there as a little bit of a outlier. Why not Keegan Bradley? I think it'd be cool. I mean, the guy's got passion. And we need some freaking passion. I mean, if you don't have passion in New York, I mean, what are you even doing?
Right.
Real quickly, LIV players from the European Tour can still play in the Ryder Cup. Essentially, when they take releases to go play LIV events, they have to have a mandatory suspension from another event. And it can be an event they were never even going to play, Bob. They can just say, this is my suspension, even though they were never going to play that event. So as long as they get their four minimum,
And pay their fines.
That's right. We want your money, but you can play. So
yeah
I don't have a problem with it. Look, again, for the Ryder Cup, I want the best players playing. I mean, I don't.
And the PGA of America has already said that they'll let LIV players in. Brooks Koepka, AKA, because he won the PGA Championship last year, got in the mix and had enough points to make it straight points. I doubt, and I don't know if they'll be picked. As far as a captain's pick is concerned, but because Brooks made it on points, I think, you know, that's good.
I got to finish the show here with a little rant.
Okay, go.
We had a country club meeting, And one of the members, he's an older guy, starts jumping in, and he said, "You were missing the problem. The whole meeting was about expanding the driving range." And he said, "We're missing the point. The point is we got to do something about all these junior golfers. You know, when an equity member drives into the club and they see juniors on the chipping area and they have juniors on the short game and juniors on the putting green and juniors on the driving range, they just turn around and drive right back out. It's a disservice to the equity members to have all these junior golfers out there. You know, I mean, if they want to hit some balls, then just give them a little bag of balls and that's all they get. And then they got to leave." And he's just going on. And I'm sitting there like, it was so odd to hear that. I thought to myself, did we officially overachieve in the Grow the Game initiative?
Yeah.
The fact exactly. that we have kids that can't get enough of the game, that want to be out there hitting balls and chipping balls and putting and working and playing because they love the game. Isn't that what we've wanted? Aren't these the future members of our club? The ones when we're long gone, they're going to be carrying the load and paying the rent and all that kind of stuff. Don't get so caught up in your own little self that you forget to see the big picture. Some of these kids have gone on that I've watched them grow up and they're playing professional golf. They're playing D1 college golf. I think it's great. The fact that the juniors, it's popular with the juniors is awesome. Keep it up, man. Keep going. Yep. I had to throw that
100%.
Right in there. Thank you to everyone who joined us, the Byron Nelson interview, the caddy, Jeremy Butler, and you for Dave Glauser, our producer extraordinaire, and Bob Casper and Brian Taylor. Enjoy the weekend at the Byron Nelson. We'll see you right here on Real Golf Radio.
Thank you for listening to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper. Follow us on Twitter at Real Golf and join us every week on the Real Golf Radio Network.